This following episode contains spoilers for the film or films being discussed. You have been warned. We all remember the big moments in the movies we see. The big set pieces, the famous dialogue, the twists, and the naked times. But film is an entity made up of hundreds of little moments that either make them special or relegate them to obscurity. We are here to talk about those moments. Welcome to Movie Microscope.
Kick it, Movie Microscope.
Today's episode is Fire with Fire.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest Movie Microscope. My name is Nick Nunziata, and I'm your gracious host. Alongside me, the perpendicular Clan McGregor, lunch-eating, loving, homunculus taste in Rachel Ray nutrition, masterful Terminator Justin Waddell. What's going on, sir?
I mean, I'm just happy to be here in the studio with you today, Nick.
Yeah, we did it. We got together. It's your birthday. We figured let's get in Brownwall. Let's watch a sensual movie together. And make it count, and here we are.
Yeah, let's. This is the way we used to do it pre-COVID, right? I mean,
yeah,
we used to get together all the time and watch a film together.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Are you too cold with that fan?
I'm good.
Okay, because if you need to, there's a switch behind you.
No, I'm fine. Thank you for asking, though. Just like a great host.
Talking about Saoirse Ronan.
She was in the movie, a movie called The Host. Did you ever see that one?
No, isn't it based on a Twilight?
I think it is based on a YA novel. I think there's something to do with eyes in that movie.
I think it's a Stephenie Meyer.
You might be right, I think you might be right.
I think Host is her way of saying, I'm not just about this kind of bullshit. I could do this kind of bullshit, too.
I believe there's something to do with eyes. That's the only thing I know.
Keep saying
there's some eyes in it. There's some eye stuff.
Is Laura Mars in it?
I wonder if it has to do with aliens.
I think there is an alien component.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know why the eyes has any factor there.
I think the aliens have, you can tell because their eyes. I don't know. It doesn't matter. We should do it, Nick. We can zoom in on that one.
We need to do The Eyes of Laura Mars as well, because that's that movie about the people who kidnapped the daughter of a candy magnate to
the Mars bar.
Ransom, exactly.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Who else would, if someone said you can't say Saoirse, who else is in The Host?
Oh, Tim Robbins?
I hope he's in it.
I don't know.
Is Tim Robbins grace the screens in that one?
It sounds like something he would do.
He was just in that show Silo that I watched.
Okay.
Tim Robbins.
But the Host, man. Let me take another. Let's name three just randoms to see if we, and then you could cheat.
Well, I feel like I kind of do know some people in this, and it's at the tip of my brain. Who's the heartthrob? That's the thing. Who's the heartthrob?
Is there a love interest?
Has to be.
It's Stephanie Meyer. Liam Hemsworth, of course.
I mean, that's not a bad guess. Liam Hemsworth?
Yeah.
It's not a bad guess. It's definitely not the other brother.
I mean, who else would be in The Host? Alexandra Davalos? Or Alexis Davalos, whatever her name is?
I don't know her.
She was in Buffy, wasn't she, or something?
Oh, God. No, she's too old for that one. I do believe there's an older actor and actress in it, though. God, who's that? Who's in The Host, Nick?
Frank Langella? I get one more guess. I'm going to say...
We got to look it up. Saoirse's slumming it, by the way. She usually picks good projects to be in. That wasn't a hit.
My last guess.
Yeah.
I was going to go with Tom Hanks, but I'm gonna pivot and say...
This is the 10th anniversary of this film, by the way.
What's the actor that gets killed at the end of the first S.H.I.E.L.D. episode? Reed Diamond?
Is it Reed Diamond?
I'm going to go Reed Diamond.
All right. Let's go.
I'm going big names.
You almost had it. Max Irons was the love interest. Little Jake Abel in there. Diane Kruger, older.
Love her.
Emily Browning.
Hate.
William Hurt, you were so close.
I was thinking of that kind of...
You were so close. And guess who's in it? Boyd Holbrook.
Oh, that must have been an early Boyd.
Boyd Holbrook. Francis Fisher. Got a pretty good cast. Bokeem Woodbine showing up in there.
Keep scrolling until you get to Reed Diamond.
There's no one else to really... Right home about in here.
All right. I'm glad we talked about The Host. Anything going on in your world, man?
I mean, you're right. I just had my birthday, and that was fun. What did we do? Got a little Thai food. Kept it pretty simple at home. Played a board game with the kiddos.
Which one?
This game called The Sheriff of Nottingham. It's a pretty fun board game. Family game night. What did I get? I got another board game. Thunder Road. Something like that.
Bruce Springsteen Simulator?
It's like a car. It's like a car board. Like it looked like an... I got it because it looked... Or I asked for it because it looked like Auto Duel, board game. Anyway, what about you? How have you been doing?
It's fine. I'm fine. Just kind of keeping it clean.
Yeah?
No.
Keeping it clean? Like anything exciting happening?
I mean, nothing to really write about now.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of remixing and mastering and stuff, trying to get all the albums back out. You know, people demand it. And then, you know, getting ready to be on the road next week. And, life goes on.
We're in the midst of Sextember,
right.
our run of highlighting very extremely sexual films for this month. And man, this one.
Yeah. I provided Justin with a box of tissues and a cloth that he could cover himself with should he need to indulge. And luckily, it didn't get there.
This was a messed up. You remember this movie wrong.
Well, no. If you think about it, the one consistent thing throughout Sextember has been the barely sex. That's the...
This has the barliest.
I don't want to... I disagree.
Rookie maybe had the most out of the three we've done.
No, Indecent had the most, for sure.
Is Indecent Sextember?
Yeah.
That kicked us off?
Yeah, we started with that, then we went to The Rook, then we went to Class, and now we end it with Fire with Fire.
Oh, this is the last one.
Yeah.
I feel like we could scoot one more in. Was Fire and Fire like it's the climax of Sextember?
Then we'll do Holding Hands March, and it'll be hardcore erotic movies. Yeah, it's over. I think the next one I want to do, I think I've got an idea for it, and I know John wants to participate, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Sextember, man. This is the back-to-back Virginia Mads, though. Like,
well, that's the connective tissue that we talk about. I know you guys think that we're just willy-nilly just winging it, but we are very heavy into structure.
Yeah.
And as you can tell, we have... It's airtight the way that these things are tied together.
Yeah, we looked at the data, and they said they want us to talk more about Virginia Mads.
Yeah.
Way more about Craig Sheff.
Yeah.
So we had to find a movie they're in together, and we did it.
On the show, we call the movie Microscope. It's a show where we zoom in. We pinch the Frost Giant's nipples. We gaslight a greenhorn. Cook for wolves. We bake a shoddy gingerbread home that's in squalor. Looks like a fucking hoarder's gingerbread house. We brandish a puss weapon. We piss in America's butt socket and work the genital muscles until Mr. Clean comes scream. Watch a movie through a set of destroyed, fingertip-laden, power-assed, liquid orange eyes that have seen everything, and as we cascade it through those retinas, decide what makes or breaks. Share with the likes of you, the listener. Talking about Leap of Faith. Talking about the scene where Steve Martin literally jumps to the bottom of the Grand Canyon to prove God exists. Smashing apart on the ground as he lands.
Leap of faith. Did you see that in the theater?
A little thumbs up, though. A little thumbs up at the bottom.
You saw it in the theater?
No, I did not.
Did you work in the theater when this one came out?
Had this to. Was well after I...
Really?
I was out.
Leap of Faith. Remember, everybody's... there was a little
was
bit
Eddie
of...
Murphy in it?
No. A little bit of buzz.
Mr. Church?
And then it came out and everybody said it's just a huge misfire.
That's what Robin Williams... Misfire. That's a show. That's what the people that love it call it. Virginia Mads was called instead of this one.
Steve Martin in the news lately because his show's a hit on Hulu, obviously. But then this actress wrote a tell-all book where she says that Steve Martin treated her like shit on the set of Little Shop of Horrors. And he came out and had to deny it, and so did the director, Frank Oz, and said, this B-word tripping. But who knows? You know what I'm saying? I hope he didn't.
I don't care if he did.
Also hope she got paid. You know, like, look, I get it. You need to get a little cash. You got to spill the juice. Spill the deets.
Was it Audrey that wrote this book?
No. Ellen Green? No, it's some other actress. Some had a bit part. She was in the dentist, like a scene with him.
Yeah.
I think he punches her in the face in the scene.
Reminds me of Castle Freak. Because you assumed that he bit part in that.
You did not assume. They show it.
Oh,
did he bite her?
Are you really doubling down on that?
What?
You really are doubling down that that's what happens in Castle Freak.
Yes.
Okay.
Why, you don't remember?
I've never seen it.
It's a movie they remade, by the way.
As?
Castle Freak.
Oh. Original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I seen it once. Yeah, he goes in for a bite.
All right. In the remake, too?
I didn't see it. I don't think I did see the remake.
Is that a Jeff Combs movie?
Possibly. He might be in there. I think Barbara Crampton had something to do with the remake, though.
I went and saw it in the theater, and I walked out because I thought it was about a really good checkers player.
Stuart Gordon movie?
I think.
Castle Freak is a great title for a movie. I don't think the movie lives up. I think that basically the premise is a family goes on a vacation in a castle, and there's a castle freak. Foolproof. I love the title. I like the artwork. I think the movie's pretty poor.
It's a shame because Stuart Gordon wasn't bad.
I think I'm right that he directed it, but I could be wrong.
No, I think that is right. I know it was from that Yuzna Gordon camp. If he didn't direct it,
it was a Yuzna then, maybe?
It was from that crew. So what is your relationship with Fire with
none.
Fire?
I had none. I hadn't heard of it. I don't have one. It's a familiar tale, though, once you start watching it. But
it is. It's an age-old tale of youth and love and risk and the penalty of letting your sexual organs do the thinking. But, yeah, this is one that I loved very much as a young man.
Loved it a lot, huh?
Don't know why.
I think I know why.
She's
V Mads in this.
She's super pretty in this.
She's very pretty.
I'm going to go on a limb.
Uh-huh.
Might have filled out jeans the best that I can remember in film. In this movie.
Back then, or are you saying that now?
That I've seen. Like, if you put me against a fucking hot poker
mm-hmm.
and said, name somebody who looked better in jeans than Virginia Madsen.
Sure, okay.
I'd be hard-pressed.
You know, Virginia Madsen been doing it for a long time, and this was right at the beginning?
Yeah, this was near the... This was after she had ripped out her breast in class, however.
Which is her first film, you said.
Yeah.
It's almost like she's, yeah, obviously beautiful, but it's almost like she got cast in this because her hair is so great. Like, you know, she has like this really, her hair is like, the camera just focuses on her hair all the time.
I think that might be you projecting because she's a lot of charisma in this movie.
Oh, I do. I like her. I think, like I said, I think she's a good actress and a very popular actor. We're talking about her brother who kind of came first. He's older, Michael Madsen. And I was suggesting that he wrote her coattails. You said that he was working prior to her.
Absolutely.
He was in War Games, for God's sake.
He was in that in 83, but he was in something else before.
But I tell you what, he never really eclipsed her star.
I think I say also fills out jeans, and I'm like, you're not kidding.
She family won. She's the bigger actor.
She's been more successful. I like the idea of them, you know, at Christmas or Thanksgiving, right. Popping open a bottle of wine, reminiscing, and loving each other.
It'd be interesting to see if they've ever worked together.
I doubt it.
Or if they're like Eric and Julia Roberts.
The first thing that comes to mind, really. It's like it's the beautiful woman and her gargoyle brother.
It is a... but it's also the younger sister becoming more popular and maybe the better talent. Although Eric Roberts never stops being on set. He just lives on set every day.
You know who's listening to this right now on their iPod and shaking their head saying, why aren't you bringing me up? Marissa Ribisi.
Once married to Beck.
Oof. Scientology meetings,
they
probably.
They got divorced. Yeah, Marissa Ribisi, who is in Dazed and Confused, which I think just celebrated an anniversary.
Yeah, I think they just put out a new version of it
or something. But I think it's not 30 years old, is it?
It's got to be older than that.
And so it might be the 30th.
Richard Linklater's been filming Boyhood since fucking the earth cooled.
Marissa Ribisi, nice. Giovanni's sis. Giovanni in the new Avatar movie that I haven't seen?
Yeah.
How was he?
Small part. I mean, it's fine. He plays, I had his name at the tip of my tongue. Selfridge?
Okay.
Maybe.
Is he a bad guy? A corporate guy?
Parker or something. I don't think he's as corporate evil in this as he was in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But my boy, met him at Chud West.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he was at the Scientology house.
Ribisi, how was he? Was he nice?
He was fine. Him and Marissa were there. Kelly Preston was there.
Just Travolta there?
No.
Who else? There was other people.
Juliette Lewis.
That's right. You said she was a little crazy.
I was not interested in talking.
I like her.
So the premise of the film is reality.
Enough said.
Okay.
Who's the cast before we get into
Mr.
the premise?
Mr. Craig Sheffer is your star.
Maybe looking his best ever in this.
That's a tough ask. He's a sweetie.
Craig Sheffer, Virginia Madsen, obviously we mentioned, but there's a couple other people there popping up, floating to the surface.
There is
here.
A seriously, I guess what the kids would say, fire performance by John Polito in this.
Yeah, better known for Miller's Crossing, but John Polito playing the bad guy here, doing a great job. R.I.P., by the way.
Him doing a good job? Got D.B. Sweeney in
D.B. Sweeney's first, and here's the connective tissue, is that we never stopped talking about Travis Walton, the UFO liar, and D.B. Sweeney portrayed him in Fire in the Sky.
With?
Craig Sheff.
Craig Sheff.
They swapped starring roles, right? Because Craig Sheffer was the side piece in that, right?
Yeah. I think Sweeney ended up being the side piece in that. To the Grays.
Grays just keep zooping them.
Kari Wuhrer in
oh,
this.
Oh, that's right. Kari Wuhrer.
Gene Smart in this.
Gene Smart unexpectedly showing up playing a nun, never out of habit in this, and she is just baby-faced.
Not really.
Yeah.
She looked older than I expected her to look.
Get out of here. She looked like she was probably in her 20s.
She looked like Gene Smart. Kari Wuhrer, however, you could already see the seeds of greatness.
Kari Wuhrer, first role, and she is, you know, there's an all-girls school in this movie, and then there's a, next to a prison camp.
An honor camp, they call it.
And she's one of the mischievous girls at this
camp. And some Jay Cohen character plays the other guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to it. It's hard to scroll, Nick.
It's not what fucking Gandalf says.
This movie has a fire soundtrack, as you pointed
out. It's a great soundtrack.
Yeah. They spent a lot of money.
They spent all the money on it. Well, and this may have been before. It's a Paramount movie, so I bet you they had some ties there because they played music from Fletch.
Yeah.
And they played a Paramount movie. There, you get to watch like 3 minutes of Friday the 13th Part 5 in this movie.
So J.J. Cohen, that's who we're talking about. Yep. You got Tim Russ playing the one of the workers at this prison. Penelope Sudro in here, who shows up in Nightmare on Elm Street 3. You got a whole host, Nick, just like Saoirse.
By the way, she's got something in common with Wade.
What are you talking about?
Wash over you.
So, what's the premise?
Young love happens when a troubled young man working at a honor camp witnesses a floating virgin in the water and instantly is smitten with her. And she is instantly smitten with him, even though she sees him through the corner of her eye for a millisecond. And then they do everything within their power to ruin their lives.
Hormones.
Oh.
How does he, if he's in a prison camp, if he's in this honor camp, which means kind of a prison without walls, right? But still have lots of security and lots of guns.
One.
How does he see her? Like, how is he able to, like, see a floating woman in the woods?
Because the movie starts off with them doing a exercise where these young men are, they have to race back to camp from this remote location where they're doing their work. And Craig Sheffer, being the new guy, is given a ribbon, and he is forced to be their prey. So he runs to try to get ahead of them. And along his run, he takes a little detour to take a huge look at Virginia Madsen. Not on purpose, but he sees her there, and he's like, this is a forest beauty. I'm seeing something out of a fucking Tolkien book over here floating.
Yeah, she's suspended in water, it looks like, and just kind of laying on top of water, floating, but it doesn't even look like she's floating.
Well, before that, we see her prepping. The first thing we see is her tromping through the woods.
Yeah, she's hiking.
She's got some weird machinery. She's got this weird plastic thing that we don't know what it's for. She's got a bunch of little things. It's mysterious. She's got flowers, got a weird dress. You're like, what is she? Is she going to visit her mom's grave?
Right.
Is she evil? Is she going to pose in the water as Ophelia? One could guess. And it turns out to be the latter, and Mr. Craig Sheffer gets a look at her, and his dick gets super hard.
So, and the thing that's interesting about this is that this is set, she is kind of this mysterious figure for this scene. He happens upon her. He's like, what is happening? We see her arms raised out of the water, and she has these little control to the camera that she has set up, and she's snapping photos herself. That really bothered
you. It infuriated the shit out of me.
It really bothered you.
Because she's trying to replicate that famous painting.
Mm-hmm.
And once she takes her hand out of the water, you can see the wire.
Right.
So I'm thinking that thing will click underwater.
HBO's
just fucking click the thing underwater.
But the thing that the reason that she didn't, because in the picture, her arms are raised up. So she was imitating the picture.
Tape it behind your fucking arm.
It's a good picture. She did a good job. And then, you know, anyway, so these two are intrigued by each other. And, you know, more so like Sheffer is like kind of like, what? Who did I see? And he's telling his friend.
He's creepy about it.
He's telling his friend who is a map maker. And this kid, his nickname is Map Maker, and he makes maps, of course. Like, why wouldn't you? And he had mapped out this shortcut for Sheffer to take to get back before everybody else. And this is the detour. They saw you. I think you said all this. But this map...
No, she goes on the detour later.
Map making plays a significant role in this movie.
It does, and I'm trying to figure out, because we never see this guy making a map. We don't understand where... Is he... doing astral projection above the forest. I don't understand how this guy is so good. Never leaving the camp. It works for the plot, for sure.
Uh-huh.
You said it was based on a true story?
I think it is based on a true story, but I think it's pretty loose. I think basically an all-girls school had a dance with a group of prisoners, basically. And that's probably all, as far as the story goes. That's the inspiration for it.
I think whatever you look it up, a girl once bought a camera.
Anyway, so he is telling people, he's telling his friend, that the map maker guy, that he saw this beautiful luminous figure in the woods, and his friend doesn't believe him. Virginia Madsen is back, and basically, he's not really on her radar, right? Like, she's kind of...
She definitely, you know, there's a scene where they go to the movies.
Yeah, but this is, like, right, like, back at school, it's not like she's, like, telling her friend she saw some dude in the woods. Like, she's just kind of back in school doing school shit.
Right.
And they're in the church, and they're stretching out a condom, as you will, as a prank.
What's the name of the church? What's the name of the school for girls?
So I don't remember. You go ahead and tell us.
I'll just give you a hint. Just think about your favorite band and their track record. Immaculate Heart.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. That makes sense. Catholic, all-girls school, nuns, obviously, so it has to be. And so then what's happening in this church scene? All the girls are gathered, the nuns are given, like,
they're reading
service,
from their book. Yeah,
right?
Doing
but what's happening with the Kari Wur? What's her
she's
prank?
She's got a rubber, and she decides for them to stretch it amongst the girls.
Yeah, and so the prank is you stretch it, and you hand it to the girl next to you, and then when it gets to the last girl... You tell her it's a condom, and she is horrified.
I don't think that's what they were planning on. I think they were going to just see if they could stretch it across for fun. I don't think they were trying to make that
cool. I thought it was a prank.
I mean, it's a prank if you stretch it across. The girl is grossed out by that condom, though.
But, you know, the director's smart here. He's, like, introducing condoms early, saying, guys, this is a future sextember film. There's going to be a lot of bumping and grinding in this bad boy.
Also smart is the nun reading the scripture.
She's smart?
Yeah. She looks smart in jeans, Ms. Madsen does.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Craig Sheffer in the early part of this film is, good-looking guy, but the way he stares, he's a little creepish.
So is D.B. Sweeney.
Well, D.B. Sweeney's meant to be a creep in this film. So they go to the movies, the work camp, because he won that race to get the... Because he does end up winning that race, they get a gift. Those guys get to go to the movies, to go see...
There's two halves of this camp, right?
Which is not a blessing for them.
The Panthers and the Barracudas, right? Those are the two, and they... And so the...
What team are you, by the way?
Barracudas, 100%.
Okay, yeah, me too.
Is that Sheffer?
Speaking of heart.
That's right. They get to go, yeah, like Nick said, the prizes, they get to go to a movie. They're showing Friday the 13th, 5, out of order in the film. They're showing the end of the movie, then later on the beginning of the film.
It's the worst of the original Friday the 13th, though, so that's fine.
It's got fake Jason.
Yeah.
It's got ambulance fake Jason. Yeah.
Jason with a license.
You can play fake Jason in the Friday the 13th game. You know, the one that I got addicted to and played for like a year.
Yeah, you could play fake Jason in Robard Simulator as well.
So what I would do in that how I would troll people when I played and they played fake Jason, I had always, when they were about to kill me, I was like, you're not even real Jason. I would just say that all the time. You're fake Jason.
You really love that game.
I played it so much.
So, big moment here. While they're waiting in line to see Jason Voorhees fake, there's a couple in front of Virginia Madsen. The boy looks right at the camera, the extra. Took me completely out.
I know. It reminded me of if I was in like a movie like this and they're like, act like you're in line. That's how I would have done it. Stiff as a board, freaking out.
Well, you've been knowing Virginia Madsen was right behind you. You might have been stiff as a board for real.
Well, Virginia Madsen, like unknown at this point, though, right? Kind of is like pretty early.
Yeah, I mean, but she's.
I wouldn't
ravishing.
Have been intimidated, man. I've been just nervous about the camera.
Okay. And then what happens in the movie theater?
They played Friday the 13th Part 5 out of order.
Okay. Big moment, though. We find out something huge about the rules.
If you have to go pee, everybody has to go
pee. If Myron pisses, everybody pisses.
Yeah, so.
There's a name, by the way, I think that may have gone by the wayside. The name Myron. I know two people. Well, one just passed away, but I knew two people with that name. Yeah. None of them are young.
Myron.
Is Myron a dead name?
Yeah, I haven't known a Myron, actually, in my life. It's not a bad name. I'm for it. I'll bring it back.
I remember the end of the Downey, Myron. No,
it's a direct quote. No, well, here's what happens, is that Madsen sees prison chef crossing the street into the theater. She's like, that's the guy that spied me making my art. Well, she gets all flustered. Then they make eyes at each other in this darkened theater. And then when Myron
he is spooky staring at her at that point.
He is looking weird. Yeah, I will give you that. Works for her though.
It because gets her there.
From this moment on, it's no longer that she has like an interesting career as like this artist, or she's like, you know, her parent has parental drama. Now she just loves Craig Sheffer. That's her whole character.
With his unibrow.
And to be fair,
I get it.
His character is he loves that. That's all he gets too.
Yeah,
they're hormonal teenagers, I guess. Is he supposed to be a teenager? He looks about 28 in this. I wonder how old he was. Is he her age?
He's around her age. You said she's 62.
She is.
I bet you he's around 62.
63.
And in this movie, he was 69 for a while. They watch Friday the 13th Part 5 and are staggered by its bitchiness. And then he goes back to the camp, and now, you know, life is resuming. But Virginia Madsen, bless her heart, has decided to find a way to get that dick back into her vicinity somehow. And how does she do it?
She convinces... they form a vote. They have a vote, and the nuns are like, hey, the kids voted for it. I guess we have to do it. Virginia Madsen is like, we never do anything charitable for the town itself. Like, let's have a dance with these criminals.
She's like, let's have a blood drive. Jean Smart's, I'm listening. Let's have a blood redistributing through men's bodies drive. You know what I'm saying?
And so they have a dance with this the honor camp, and the nuns are like, okay. And the nuns DJ, the nuns make the punch, and they also chaperone.
I love it.
Kind of harmless.
It's a long scene, but I love it.
They have a... So this movie is set in the 80s, and looks doesn't look like it's set in the 80s until this scene. Then this is like, it is a purely 80s. Even then, though, the music is like, it's not so bad.
But they bust out a reel-to-reel to play the music at this dance.
They do?
You remember the brand?
I don't.
Teak?
Teak, yeah.
T-E-A-C?
Without the H for teach, yeah. I did remember that. But what do you think of the...
Super Zoom.
Of this... That's how I remembered it. Or I didn't remember it, but now I remember it. What do you think of this whole sequence?
I love it.
It's a bad thing that happens in it.
Dancing? White people?
So, the map maker guy, he gets... asked to dance by the girl that's later in Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Okay.
And he joke dances for way too long.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to watch.
Is this after Footloose with Chris Penn doing that? Probably before.
Footloose is maybe after this. Maybe the same year.
84, 83. There was a precedent for that kind of stuff. Remember The Wildlife with Sean Penn or it was Chris Penn?
I'm just
well?
Saying that, like, you know, sometimes it's hard to, like, you don't want to dance for real because it's kind of embarrassing. Maybe you're not that good, so you just joke dance. But, man, he joke danced for too long. It's like, we get it. You're funny. And then they come back to him later, and he's still joke dancing.
Well, I think they were trying to set... I really thought this is the character normally in a movie like this that they end up making the tragic thing. You think about Lock Up, the new guy that comes in, and then he gets paid for his... You know, you think Gil Bellows in Shawshank. Yeah. I thought that was this guy's job, was to be endearing
and get
smothered.
You saw him on the dance floor? I mean, at one point, he... spun around on his knees.
He very slowly and poorly, unlike in a real breakdancing. Because he was doing an impersonation of breakdancing.
Right.
I think that actor became a lawyer.
You're thinking of the guy from Goonies.
Okay.
Yeah, he has the same last name.
He became a lawyer?
Yeah, the chunk from Goonies.
I think this guy...
And they have similar names.
Yeah, they both Cohen. But okay, I'm not worried. Craig Sheffer bumped up against fame. He bumped up against it a couple of times. He really almost did it. Mm-hmm. You think River Runs Through It, if people weren't jerking off to Brad Pitt the whole time. Brad Pitt came in, Julie Armand, or no, wait, who's the girl on that? Brad Pitt came in there, mm-hmm. and everybody's like, Craig, who? Huh? And then Nightbreed was supposed to be the Star Wars of horror films. It ended up being the Star 80 of horror films. And then they, Turbulence.
He bumped up against Frame in that. Because it was.
And then Hellraiser 3, 4?
No, Fire in the Sky, you're leaving the big one out.
Well, he wasn't the star. I'm talking about movies where he was.
Yeah, he was. He was in a few scenes in that.
I hope he's a good guy. I have no gauge on. Was he in Judgment Night? I guess not.
He wasn't.
I have no gauge on his personality as a man, but I want him to be a delight. He's certainly a lifer, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he looked like Patrick Swayze.
He didn't.
Kind of. Reminiscent of Patrick Swayze, I think.
He looks like Kyle Schwarber from the Phillies a little bit.
Mixture of the two. Meanwhile, D.B. Sweeney started out. What was his pinnacle?
Cutting Edge.
What was his pinnacle? I think we know.
We talking about Travis? Guy.
But wasn't he also in Strange Luck or something?
He had a show, yeah. Pure Luck? Strange Luck? One of those.
Strange Luck? One of the shows they tried to attach to the X-Files that didn't work. I think it might have been Chris Carter.
It doesn't matter. D.B. Sweeney's a rock star. We've done a good bit of D.B. Sweeney.
I don't think we've done a lot of D.B. Sweeney.
Can't wait till we do 8 Men Out. Great movie. So she does orchestrate this dance. They're dancing. And then Craig Sheffer's mystified because his sweet hotness isn't there. Mm-hmm. So he's wallflowering it. And then she walks in. And D.B. intercepts.
I know.
And he's got his hair slicked back. He's got a red tight t-shirt and his cigarettes rolled up in his sleeve.
Yeah.
She does not fall for D.B.
Well, she does at first. She's polite. She politely agrees to dance with him. And then what happens? He starts to get too forward with her, a little frisky, and she pushes him away. She's not there to be manhandled by D.B. Sweeney. She's there to be manhandled by Joe Fisk, played by Craig
We don't. Sheffer. Do we ever get her last name? We know she's Lisa. I don't know if we get her last name. Oh, it's on the door of her room, I think.
Is it?
But Joe Fisk, they make a point. They make a point that he's Joe Fisk.
Yeah, they say Joe Fisk a lot. What is her last name, you think?
I know, but I remember there's a big part where everybody's got name tags, and she introduces herself as Lisa and goes, Joe Fisk. She goes, would you like to dance Joe Fisk? And she's like, are you the kingpin's son? And then here's something. Here's
Lisa Taylor in this.
They went deep. They went super crazy. Mm-hmm. She's about to get ported out to Switzerland. I think that's why she's willing to spread out. Mm-hmm. It's because she's going to Switzerland. She, you know, she's starting a new life there. Nope, ain't happening by the end of this movie. She's never going to Swiss. But there's a black girl in this movie who kind of is. She's the one who grabs the condom. Looks just like Doug Pinnick from King's X.
I mean, what?
She does. She's got the same face, and she's hanging out with Ben Halsey. She's
right
with
Ben
him.
Halsey. Let me get some names here, Nick. I mean, this is huge.
Got nothing but time.
You don't want to cut this, right? David Harris is Ben. What about her name? They don't have her picture. Never mind.
Just look up Doug Pinnick from King's X with a wig.
King's X. All right, so they go to the dance. They get the hot and heavies for each other in the dance floor. You're supposed to keep 12 inches betwixt you guys. That's what the nuns say. They're barely enforcing it. Craig Sheffer is rubbing up and down on all
it's
around.
It's not salacious. It's
man,
cute.
He gets all up
I was hoping that Polito and Gene Smart would spot this is true love. These guys are innocent. They're not trying to hurt anything. Let's let them be.
No, here's what happened. They're getting their faces close enough that they almost kiss each other. And that's when the nuns or the Polito breaks it up. Polito has a goal in this movie is to hate Joe Fisk and to cause his life. And Joe Fisk is playing by the rules. He is very.
He's not.
Rules oriented at this place. Never breaks a rule until he meets.
The sweetest.
And then it's just all bets are off. And that Polito is thrilled because he has just wanted this guy. Mm-hmm. To fuck up, and he does, and then he Polito carries around a shotgun, and he's always aiming it at poor Joe Fisk.
He uses it in a variety of situations mm-hmm. where shotgun is the wrong weapon,
right?
So it's not a range weapon. For every movement point, you're sacrificing God knows what your hit ratio is mm-hmm. going to be. He probably had to roll doubles just to get another shot at Craig. But I mentioned that the girl looked like Doug Pinnick. Let's see. So Craig's back at his thing, and all he could think about is his rager. And Virginia Madsen's back at her thing, and she's got all eyes for the Nightbreed.
She said, basically, she passes him up some flowers, has her picture on it, her number, and tells him right before he leaves, thanks, you know my dad, Frank, which is basically saying a code for call me and pretend you're my dad.
Yeah.
And which he does.
Yeah, which tells me he's got good deductive reasoning.
But they can't get on phones at this prison.
I don't like the fact that on the back of the photo it had her 555 number, like you always see in movies.
Yeah.
And then it had a link to her GeoCities page.
Craig Sheffer, you can't get on phones. They have to distract the guard. How do they do it? How do they distract someone so he can get on
the phone? Oldest trick in the book.
Yeah.
The fake rattlesnake.
Pretend the rattlesnake's in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And that guard barely budges. He's like, he really doesn't think there's a snake in there. They have to pretend there's one for 5 minutes before he goes to get his gun.
Yep. Then he goes to get his fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because Craig Sheffer, it's like watching Ethan Hunt hang from the rafters of a vault. Because he gets to that fucking phone and fumbles the dial enough to get a hold of Virginia for a few seconds for no reason.
Yeah, they do talk. He says, we got to meet. I'm going to be at the graveyard. Please come meet me there. And what happens?
Because
they're doing work in the graveyard.
They're working outside.
What are they doing? Digging graves? I mean,
they're cleaning up near the graves.
Yeah.
Keeping all the freaking, all the kids that go and smoke, mm-hmm. probably clean up the butts and, all the,
Sure.
Slayers. A creepy, bent over, hunched, hooded creature approaches Mr. Sheffer looking like a phantasm dwarf. Turns out, who is that?
Well, that is
Mike Madsen.
Lisa Taylor. Virginia Mads herself in disguise, pretending to be old, but actually looking very cute as soon as she takes her. She doesn't have any old age makeup on. She just has a hood over her head. And so they go behind a crypt and start making out.
A little bit, yeah.
And then, he says, look, we can't do this because I'll get caught, so let's meet later. Which means he's going to break into her dorm and jump on her bed.
Tough scene.
It's a weird one.
He does. He sneaks into her dorm. See, him and the map maker are playing this grand escape. Mm-hmm. And then Craig does that awful thing. He says, by the way, I'm involving a third wheel in our escape plan. The fucking worst. Imagine that. Oh.
A flirtatious, kind of cute, obviously they really like each other, very attracted to each other. And they've met just twice at this point, I think. And then he breaks into her dorm and jumps on her sleeping body. Now, I think it might be a little forward. She seems to roll with it, her roommate's in the room, but I just think it's a little too far.
Right.
And then, later on, they do leave together on an insane plan. So, maybe she's just
He goes into the room with a cute girl next to her, and her dorm is sleeping gently. And he's on top of her, and her boobs are almost breaking out of her shirt.
Well, he tries to grab on her boobs, and she says, no, no, not here. And he's like,
here.
Excuse me? I think I did everything right. I broke into your dorm room and jumped on you when you're sleeping. Isn't that the way it's written? She's cool with it, but he should have gotten some okay here. I think he sucks, and I hate him. But then he leaves.
I thought it was weird that he plucked a pube on his way out.
His? Left it behind?
I think I'll have that.
Nuns in there with a magnifying glass. Has a boy been in here?
Left a trail of pubes on his way out. He is not a stealthy man, as it turns out, the girls completely know that somebody broke into the place the day after.
Well, they saw him.
That's one way.
And spotted a boy. The girls are excited that a boy has.
We didn't know it was a man until he stood sideways, and his shadow had a giant boner.
Meanwhile, Kari Wuhr doesn't get to be any more of this film.
She's got a little. You see her running downstairs and stuff.
But she's kind of the one that's. Almost like the most mischievous one. You see her dancing a little bit, but this movie just focuses on the Holy Trinity plus one.
Pluto?
No, Pluto's part of the Holy Trinity.
Oh.
The plus one's a map maker.
Fuck him. Come on, Oz. Out of here. Come on.
Don't leave, Oz. Stay here.
Plug something. Get out of here.
Don't leave. Stay here.
He just has to be involved.
I love it.
Oh, this is every day, though. He can take
Are you getting tired of it? You love it. You have to love it, kind of.
I don't like it when I'm trying to record.
He just wants to be a podcast superstar.
Whenever we're making music, he's just laying there enjoying.
I feel bad for him a little bit because he's picked the wrong podcast if he wants to be heard.
I cut him out most of the time.
Oh, that's... Is this the first time you've told him? see Harry and Hager first. Cute. He's just having a having a time. He's very
friend.
Needy.
He's my
sweetie.
He's the lord of my existence. But so after this, he is nearly ejaculating on a constant basis. So he can't wait. He says, "Meet me in the mausoleum."
Yeah, of course. Well, right. They have to at this point. Look, they have to hit it.
Yeah,
I mean, because they are frisky.
Yeah,
and then I'm like, well, here's the big scene, right? We're finally going to get the Sextember scene worth its weight in gold. This thing's going to be hot and heavy. Nick, is this movie rated G?
For G-Spot? What's the name? They're in a crypt with a G.
Grantham? They are in a crypt with a
Graham?
G.
Oh, it's Grayson.
Grayson. Yeah, for Dick
he's
Grayson.
He's robbing her fucking virginity. Get it?
They do have sex in this crypt.
It starts off and you're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, she is. He's taking her clothes off. She obviously is not wearing much underneath, and he is doing a little like Three Stooges, like can't wait to.
But there's some backlighting that satisfies some of the young man's cravings.
And then they show more of Chef.
He's shirtless as fuck.
And then you realize that he lit a bunch of candles in there, which he did prep work. Which, yeah. But it's still a crypt.
Crypts are what you can eat off the floor of a crypt.
No, that crypt was dirty. Mother's leaves everywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, this guy didn't cover his tracks. Polito on the case. As soon as they consummate this relationship, Polito's in there with a flashlight. Has a gun on them.
Yeah, well, you could see the candlelight through the windows of the mausoleum. Mm-hmm. And then right as he's cleaning off his belly, Polito walks in. And there's a weird scene. That's a weird scene.
It is strange.
His intentions seem questionable, Mr. Polito.
So you've never seen Craig Sheffer lash out at Polito, even though John Polito deserves it. He's given him the business, always antagonizing him. And finally, he has a gun on them, and he's kind of looking at Virginia Madsen, and that's what really pisses Sheffer off. And he finally, like, kind of fights back. They get in a tussle.
Do you think Polito was going to try to take advantage of her?
I don't think so.
Why would he have him hold him at gunpoint and say, you stay there, and he's...
I think he's trying to humiliate him. Because, you know, Sheffer says just run, like, tells her to run away. She does. But they get in a tussle, and then they fight. Then Sheffer gets hit by a flashlight. I thought Polito might die in this scene, and that's what causes like a tragic ending. But that's not what happens. Sheffer just gets clocked.
By the way, nobody dies in this movie.
No,
except maybe the father of that one guy at the camp who gets shot in L.A.
Yeah, that's
a subplot that is abandoned.
Goes nowhere. Yeah,
it's weird though to think about a black man getting shot by a cop in L.A. It's rare. Oh, I just fucking did it, didn't I? I just poked a nest.
So
super fucking zoom.
So did Sheffer poke the nest.
Candyman came.
So
fucked her sideways.
This thing is, if Polito finally got his man, he's going to real prison now. He fucked up.
Yeah.
He went out. You can't, this is the one rule they have. Don't go into a crypt and kiss.
Yeah. Can't bang.
Or you're going to real prison.
Right.
And that's what's going to happen. And so then the map maker busts Craig Sheffer through the floorboards out.
Yeah.
And gives him access to a car so then he can abscond to a cabin with Virginia Madsen.
But that's not... He gets a car.
Does. A
red one.
And
then peels into the front row of the fucking Immaculate Heart building.
It picks his bae up.
Breaks through her door even though she's gently laying on
the bed. That was strange.
He bashes her door down when a knock would have done.
So I wonder if she was locked in there and they had to cut out the scene where he realizes it, because he just bashes through.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
She looked very unlocked in. She looked like she was reading a small novel.
He could have knocked.
By the way, last we see of her, she's getting picked up by the cops. They just dropped her back at the school. Well, you know, good. You're good to go.
She's not in trouble. Not really.
Clean it up. Clean it up and go back into your room.
The nuns are like, you're not in trouble as long as you tell us every detail, and they sit down with popcorn. Yeah.
And after 4 seconds, she's told the entire story, and they're like, what? He breaks in the room, and then they tear off, and then it becomes a very weird First Blood or something.
Yeah, Polito, for some reason, they take off and they go to this cabin that's connected to his family, and they have an idyllic day, and in this cabin, they have probably sex once. And then Polito and a helicopter shows up, like it's...
Instantly.
Instantly.
Craig Sheffer is doing Aquaman shit. We don't know what's going on.
I mean, they're at least 100 miles away. Like, they're
well, they
further
say
than
that.
That.
They abandoned the car 100 miles.
So how is Polito, like, how are they funded? How is he on the trail? Like, he's just, like, a guy that works at, like, a...
I think we've established they're the worst fugitives of all time.
Yeah.
So these two kids disappear, and then they show up. The next time we see them, they're walking towards this cabin with basically everything from REI. They've gone shopping. They have everything you need to have a life. Very strange. And they also have a new vehicle.
Well, they stole another one. Yeah. Or he did. I guess he's the criminal. Look, they're going to live in this cabin for a day. You know, they don't have much of a plan. Like, they're very hormonal and in love with each other. So they're doing something crazy here. I get it. It's kind of weird that she would kind of go with him, but whatever. In order for the ending to happen, the cabin's by a gigantic cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So Craig Sheffer, for some reason, prepares, if he's like, if they come, then we can jump off this cliff to safety. Like, he prepares the water. He prepares, like, some kind of underwater bag.
I don't understand it,
and
I love it.
Do end up having to jump off the cliff. They do have to use this underwater bag, and then the end of the movie is them hand in hand because everybody thinks they're dead. Polito even is like, there's no reason to look for them anymore. They're gone forever.
It's great. Like, just go downstream and look for the Ronnie Cox.
Like, he was, and Polito's about to kill them. He's about to kill Craig Sheffer, at least.
By the way, the best line delivery in the movie is right then.
What?
So Craig Sheffer has his rifle aimed at John Polito. Polito has his shotgun aimed at Craig Sheffer. He goes, "Puida!"
Yeah.
Doesn't say put it down.
Mm-hmm.
John Polito's the fucking man.
He's great in this.
They jump off the cliff, and it's in slow motion, and we watch them unbutton each other's clothes and start to screw on the way down. It's a very cool shot.
That's why we did this one for Sextember. I had never even heard of this film, Nick. How do you know about it?
Once again.
HBO?
VHS.
VHS, but did you own it?
I did. I don't think I watched it more than twice or whatever.
But you liked it because of her. It had to be that you thought she was pretty.
Yeah, I like Craig Sheffer a lot back then. I just crumpled up one of my notes pages and threw it, and Oz attacked it. It was very great.
I know. He's trying to clean up.
He loves wads of papers, it turns out.
Oh, and that's a big one, Nick. How many podcasts do you think covering this movie this month, Fire with Fire? And what? Why, by the way, why is it called Fire with Fire? Because D.B. Sweeney was in Fire in the Sky
Maybe
later?
They
is
both
it?
Had gonorrhea. It doesn't matter. It's fucking, it's iconic. It's got a great song.
They do have a song in it with it. So that, and it has Fire with
and
Fire.
They have Prince on the soundtrack. They got Huey Lewis on the soundtrack. They got Brian Ferry on the soundtrack.
Song from Fletch.
So they got
Bit by Bit.
Bit by Bit. Yeah, man. It's great. A harmless.
Anthrax. They got Anthrax on the soundtrack.
Wish. Harmless. Anthrax was around in 83. Harmless. Kind of neat little coming of age. There's a very analog innocence to this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, look, it's fine.
Yeah, it's not a great movie. Craig Sheffer's got one eyebrow in it. So when the credits rolled, there were some treats waiting for us up there. What'd you see? Give me some Anish.
I saw GC on the, in the rolling by me.
GC?
Yeah.
I don't have that one.
Oh, Gary Chalk.
Aw.
Gary Chalk in this.
Did you see DJ?
I mean, I saw the nun DJing at the dance. Is that who you're talking about? One banger after the next.
Yep.
No, I did not see DJ.
Dari Joyner.
Dari?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I saw CB rolling through.
You talk about Cyrus Block? Or Cyrus Block?
Cyrus Block in here, yeah.
Sounds what about like a, M.O.?
Like a Batman villain. M.O.?
Yeah.
Modus operandi? Is that what that is? I don't have an M.O.
Murray Ord in this.
Did we have Murray Ord before?
That sounds familiar.
I think we might have had him. I'd FW.
I don't.
Fred Waugh.
Do you have DP?
They jumped in the Waugh at the end. DP, I have DB Sweeney in this. Are you talking about, did you say it wrong?
She got DP in the mausoleum. Talking about Douglas Pruss.
Pruss, play on the VCR, please. When Nick was watching this bad boy, I had AE.
Don't have it.
AJ Egan.
I had the most redundantly named person in the credits.
Who?
SS. Smitty Smith.
Smitty Smith?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Anyway, man, this one is... Okay, let's just take people on a little trip. How did you get this one? Is it streaming anywhere?
I rented it.
From?
I think Apple.
Apple iTunes?
Yeah. Should have bought it.
Is it nice to know that you're the only one that rented this movie in the entire world this week? Have to be.
This week?
Do you think more people are running it?
No, I think you could extend your fucking search criteria. Jesus. Weak. Fucking.
Maybe.
Anim.
No. There's so many people in this world. Maybe there's two. Maybe two people run it this week.
I think even Craig Sheffer's like, fucking torrent it.
That has to be one of his favorites that he's done.
Oh, he looks hung as fuck. He looks great in them jeans.
He looks hung?
Virginia Madsen is stunning in it, though. At least, you know.
She always is stunning, and she's always good in stuff. Like, she was good in Electric Dreams, for God's sakes. How?
Don't act like that's a surprise. That's a fucking master. Lenny Von D.
We got to do more V-Mads, I think. What are some of her other classics?
I think she's in Runaway Jury.
She's not the co-star. She's
no, Rachel Weisz is. Yeah. But I think V-Mads in that. Or Rainmaker. Rainmaker.
Yeah. I mean, Candyman's was the big one for her. Sideways, obviously, those are her two biggest. But what she's in so many other films.
Yeah, we won't.
We can't go going mad in October? Going Mads? Wonder what other movies would be worthwhile to watch that she's in that I've forgotten that she's in.
Well, we're not going to worry about it.
I mean, I'm worried.
I think we're good for a while.
All right.
I'm gonna start doing Carrie Warren films. But look,
Carrie Warren, like, she's on Instagram talking about how she, like, you know, she's... She's like, I didn't have much of a career. I never played the game. I was reading a little bit after the thing. She's like, I just, you know, I probably didn't work hard enough, but I think I've led a pretty good life. She was like, kind of sad on the Insta. Carrie Warren was great. Remote Control, correct?
Ken Ober, lovely Marisol.
Arachnophobia, probably her biggest.
Oops.
Yeah, but still. Wait, not Arachnophobia. Eight-Legged Freaks. Yeah. That's the one she was in. Yeah.
Even worse.
That's her biggest.
Even
that wasn't good. Yeah.
Worse.
David Arquette.
Do you remember
star.
The official message board for that movie?
Is it you guys?
Yeah.
It's Chud.
Yeah. We had a...
I mean, look,
all the winners.
That movie's kind of fun, I have to say. It's not the worst.
It's actually bad.
I don't know, man.
It's actually a really bad movie.
Really?
Yeah. I wanted to like that shit, too. And it was pissing ass. But Arachnophobia's kind of cute.
Right.
JD in there. Jeffy Dan.
Who?
Jeffy Dan, Johnny Good.
Tell me the real names.
Jeff Daniels, Jonathan Goodman.
Jeff Daniels is in...
The star of Arachnophobia.
Oh, Arachnophobia. I'm still on Eight-Legged Freaks.
That's David Ark. Nightmare.
You know who's in Arachnophobia, R.I.P.
David Ark.
Julian Sands. Did you say Sands?
I didn't.
Yeah, Sands was... Yeah, he gets violently killed by a spider at the very end. Johnny
Goods.
Oh,
he plays like a renowned spider.
Yeah. Brown Wall.
The cascading...
Brown Wall.
Cascading piss sounds. New Brownwell album comes out on Tuesday. All right, so look, you got to get a tat on your body from Fire With Fire. What are you going to get?
I'm going to get the original picture she's imitating. I don't know the artist, the Ophelia picture that she's imitating.
Right.
Right? That you're so mad about that her imitation had the... So I would get the tattoo of the original painting, but I would put a little camera, the little control in her hand.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying?
Fuck. Just to irritate.
Just so I can say that she did it picture accurate, perfect.
Right.
What do you think?
I'm disappointed.
I like that. Not a whole lot of Ophelia tattoos, I imagine.
I hope not.
Maybe.
I'm going to get a tattoo of the rest of the unibrow, bridge of my nose where Craig's was.
Right.
Basically, I'm going to go picture accurate hair. So I'm going to shave myself down.
Sure, I'm listening.
And they're going to tat Polito's monk hair around the sides. They're going to give me Virginia's 80s crest or 80s pubis, you know, that whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Of course I know that. Yeah.
I'm going to have Stevie Sweeney, a little lion's share of the back of his hair. Yeah. And then Craig's unibrow. I'm just going to basically replicate the Fire With Fire with hair, and that'll let my hair grow back. And then it'll be my secret.
You going to HFA?
What's that?
Hair from All? Is that what you're doing?
Sure.
A little grab bag.
What happened in the mausoleum. Look, movie's over, credits are rolled, lo and behold, there's a stinger at the end. What's he going to have after Fire With Fire? Well, the movie ends with them, it freezes, of course it does. They're in midair, they're like jumping over like a hill basically, and they're in midair and it freezes.
Mm-hmm.
And the stinger, it unfreezes. They land on the ground and stumble, and then they're standing right before them is every policeman, and they go to jail forever.
My extra scene is they cut back to the map maker.
Oh.
And he's laughing.
He sees the girl from Waterworld. He's like, give me that back.
He's laughing. And he's like nodding, and the police are handing him money because he turned them in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get a little cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? He betrayed them, Nick.
I love it. And then Craig Sheffer is in his prison cell on the floorboards. He's the map maker's back down there, and they do it again. And he sets him up again.
Like Theon.
Look, man, you've been given the finance to have your own sequel to Fire With Fire. Money has fallen into the fan blades of escrow. What are you going to do?
Right. sequel to the Fire, so it'd be Fire with Fire or something like that. They'd be a cute title. Day two on the run.
Can't wait.
She is just, this sucks. What's happening? You don't have a gig? I don't have a gig? We're out of money? I burnt down the cabin. She, by the way, she cooks breakfast once and burns down the cabin. Yeah. I mean, that's also kind of, that's pretty shitty.
Hormones.
So, yeah, she...
Did you almost want her to break up with her because she couldn't crack an egg right?
No, it's supposed to be cute.
Oh.
She is a kid. I mean, she's
ask
like...
Ask the chicken how cute it fucking was. That's my child spilling over your ass.
But they're in the woods. She's like, you know what? I'm out. Like, I think we got to go our separate ways. Like, all right, well, that sucks. And he's heartbroken. He's, like, crying. And that his tears attract the scent of a pack of wolves. He spent the rest of the film trying to survive a gigantic... Is that what they call a group? A ball of wolves that's chasing him through the woods?
Yeah.
And they are just hungry for Sheffer because he's been crying so much. He's heartbroken over the breakup, basically. Right. And her secret weapon is she is not crying, so she's kind of safe. Yeah, I like this. It's called Tear Wolf. Tear Wolf.
So mine is...
It takes he gets eaten at the end.
Mine takes place very shortly after the movie ends. And they are, once again, they're out there. They don't know what to do with themselves. We're at a loss. We have to figure shit out. He goes, I got this locked down. Follow me. And they go through this, you know, corridor, pathway through the forest. And they come to this clearing. She goes, what did I smell? I smell this weird gas smell. He goes, that's right. Our ride's here. Fucking jet with Clint Eastwood pulls down. Fire with Firefox is the sequel, and they are on the run with Clint going a billion miles an hour to the sky. He's groping around in that high-tech plane. So good.
And then Craig Sheffer starts to get sad. He starts to cry because Virginia Madsen straddles Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood directs. Clint Eastwood. That made me like him even. I'm done. And for The Rookie. That's forever ago.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
So lazy. And so weird.
Don't make him be unforgiven in your eyes. And then, I didn't tell you, though. It ain't over.
Oh. Firefox continues, huh?
Because he's getting stalked by a MIG.
Oh, from Silence of the Lambs?
I wish. Virginia can deal with that.
Oh, it's MIGs.
She dealt with Throne Cum. But... No, pulls up next, Polito in that MIG. He's got his shotgun. Get closer. It's great. Yeah. Okay. Look, you're in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You've been added to the running time of Fire with Fire. What shape does your performance take?
Jason.
You're in the woods?
No, I'm Jason. I'm on screen. I'm Jason Voorhees.
Okay.
And actually, I'm not Jason. But I am Jason.
You're Jason.
But I'm, like, confused because I'm like, first of all, my movie's out of order. There seems to be a romance, like, that I can hear happening. And then there's fake Jason in here. Like, you know, I'm just confused. Mm-hmm. Real Jason. Why isn't Jason in the fifth one? They just get tired of him?
They tried to throw the audience in the loop.
They said in the fourth one he gets killed and it's for real this time.
Because I think at the end there's some sort of a tease for Jason anyway, isn't there?
I don't remember.
Don't matter.
Those movies are never good, man.
No,
like,
not.
There's no one of them. Not one of them.
Four
good, right?
Is as close to being good, and then six is as close to being good.
Six is the one where the main character has a. She's a psychic.
No, that's seven.
Oh, that's not six? What's six?
Six is where Tom Matthews digs him up.
Oh God,
he's playing Tommy Jarvis. The best three is four, then six, then Jason.
Don't they dig him up to make sure he's dead?
Cool. They remember he's with Horshack from Welcome Back.
Yeah, Horshack gets killed in that scene.
Lightning
right?
reanimates Jace. Yeah, I think he is there to completely make sure he's dead, but they got that wire, that rod through him, and then lightning strikes it, yeah.
The ultimate fuck-up, make sure he's dead, and then bring him back to life
right.
When you're doing it, yeah.
Right. So that's your Jason.
Sad sack Jason, wondering what's happening in my own movie. Yeah, what do you think?
I like it.
Let's move on.
I'm Craig Sheffer's Pops, and I've got my buddies, we're going on a fishing weekend. So I got this cabin. Let's go to this cabin. We park the Land Rover. We hike towards the cabin, and we see this wisps of smoke over the treetops. Fuck. Helicopters. Uh-oh. Hope that's not near my place.
Oh, no.
Something smells like burning eggs. Uh-oh. Our weekend is fucked.
just a smoldering pile of ash that smells like sperm and fire.
Yeah, and
like, what happened
one
here?
Of the cops goes, I got some bad news. Your son plummeted to his death and your house burnt down. He's like, he goes to his knees, my cabin! Turns out he had the last known fucking copy.
So then over
Canterbury Tales on the shelf.
He's on his knees crying about his cabin. Over his shoulder he hears a whisper like, hey, and he turns. He sees Jason Voorhees in his house. He's like, hey, man, why am I here? Like, what? Why am I here right now? Do you understand? Do you know why?
Yeah.
I confused myself out of the film into real life. Somehow attached myself to these two lovebirds. I was like, look, I'm not even violent at this point. I just want to know what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
I'll keep trying to make it funny.
Look, you've been asked to create your own business associated with Fire with Fire.
I'm doing the Fire with Fire RPG. Like, I've been playing...
Took it.
I've been playing that Baldur's Gate 3. That's got me thinking, man. Let's just do a real life kind of, you know, star-crossed lovers RPG where you could either create your own character, pick the origin characters of Craig Sheffer or Virginia Madsen in this. Map Maker could be Map Maker. What do you think? And then the map is like his map that he made.
Nice.
And it's too super kind of confusing. He just kind of half did it. Not very good, let's be honest. But yeah, the whole point is you can go to the cabin, you can go to the theater, go to the school.
Mausoleum.
You can go to the crypt if you feel me. And you got to make decisions. I like this. What do you think?
It's an RPG.
Yeah. It's a video game. I mean, I'd just be playing Chef for all the time. But go ahead. You can play Polito.
Raw Penis Girl. I have basically created an inflatable, sexable Virginia Madsen doll.
What?
That you can have intercourse with.
Oh, my God. What the fuck? Don't do this.
It's never been done.
Don't do this.
It's getting better. And it's got a feature where you can impregnate it.
You may want to read that.
And you could deliver a balloon out of it. What do you think?
I don't like it.
Okay, what about an inflatable Virginia Madsen that you can dress up like her character from Fire with Fire?
Are you pitching me like I'm like some like, okay, I'm listening, Nick. You have my attention.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have an inflatable Virginia Madsen that you can put her clothes on, and an inflatable Jean Smart you can put her nun on, you know?
Yeah.
And an inflatable John Polito, you could put his suit on, his clothing on, his little bolo tie.
Okay.
And then you could interact with them in any means you need, and you could recreate scenes from Fire with Fire with life-size toys.
So you can swap their clothing? So you can get John Polito in like a nun habitat?
100.
I'm listening.
You say a nun's habitat.
What did I say? Habitat? Habit. Sorry.
I like that. No better. Nun's habitat's church, man.
Yeah.
And you can have intercourse with these bodies.
Okay. Don't like that part of it. It's insane.
Look, you got to have a mantra, a screed, a ritual, some sort of thing that you take for Fire with Fire. What are you going to do?
Oh, what is a good mantra? Did I think of one?
I didn't make it clear or not if you can get to fourth base with these, did I?
You know what you can do with the D.B. Sweeney one, though? Get to fourth kind. What would be a good mantra for this one?
Mine's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta ruin your life for what is essentially a complete stranger.
Look, we all had crushes. And, you know, you've had a crush.
Yeah.
You could not wait to be with them alone. Or you couldn't, like, meet them somewhere. So exciting.
Yeah, I'd be late for dinner.
You know, you get it. Like, I understand they want to be alone. I understand they want to go off together. I understand they're young, you know what I'm saying? So, come on, man.
Do you think they may have taken it too far?
A little bit, maybe. Yeah.
There's not really... I guess they're trying to say their parents don't care enough about them, maybe. Not enough excuse.
She said, yeah, her parents are definitely missing
rich.
In action. Yeah, they do sound rich. They're going to send her to finishing school, which she does not like the sound of it. It's in Switzerland or something. She does not like the sound of going there. It sounds pretty good to me.
I wish they would have sent Craig Sheffer to finishing school.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, wait for a couple months and he'll be out. Then they could go to Switzerland together. Maybe that's the allure, though, that he's in prison. Like, as soon as he gets out, she's not interested, you know?
He's a one-pump Joe. What are you saying?
What's your mantra?
Sometimes it's okay to ruin your whole life for what is essentially a complete stranger.
Sweet. It's like I can see that embroidered like on a pillow. I know you're looking at the
fuck
time.
Robert Frost. It's Robert Fire right there. That's what I'm talking about. The load less traveled.
The load less traveled? What would be a good one? I just have just be prepared with an underwater go bag at all times.
That's a good one.
You know, have an underwater or waterproof go bag. I think that's the key. And then certainly tie a huge, to keep it secret, so no one will see it. Make sure you have a huge rope tied to it with every orange flag in existence on it. It's just so they know.
Yeah.
Or they don't know. Yeah. So underwater go bag.
What would you put in that? Looking at the size of it, it was about half the size of Virginia Madsen's body.
You thought it was her body.
I was hoping it was her body in there.
What would I put in it? A bike?
One of them good forest bikes?
Let's get a bike in there, a couple whatchamacallit candy bars, some Sprees, maybe some Twizzlers.
The essentials.
I don't know. What is the ice cream that you don't have to put in the refrigerator?
Astronaut?
Freezer? Yeah. A couple Sprites.
Nice.
Band-Aid box. What about you? What would you do? That John Polito doll that you were talking about.
You're off to a good start. Mm-hmm. I would have a switchblade comb. I would have a handheld video game machine.
I like that.
Yeah. With Simant on it for sure. I'd have probably a pair of underwear. One of those rhubarb pies,
A pair of Jack Len Bisset's underwear from the last movie we did? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
We didn't connect it to the last movie. We're supposed to do that.
Yes, we did. Virginia Madsen.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Jesus, could not connect it more.
My bad.
We could connect this all day long to class. Are you kidding?
Tell me one more. Give me one more connect.
She gives him a raw blow in the mausoleum.
The raw blow?
She gives him a raw blow in the mausoleum. There's Jean Smart looks like Kim Cattrall, who was in Mannequin.
That's a stretch. That's it. I think we're good. You got it. You did a good job. There's other links, but we don't need to get...
Look, man, you're an island. You've been trapped all these many years gathering debris from films. Now it's time to take something from Fire with Fire. What you bring?
Take my first person. I haven't taken a person yet.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
Taking that nun DJ and her DJ equipment. She was too fire not to take. You know what I'm saying? Remember she was stumbling at first? Like, she didn't turn up loud enough. They're like... She's kind of old, so they're like, hey, it's time for the party to start. She didn't kind of hear it. Once she clicked the clack, the buttons and stuff, that party... I've been to parties before the DJ killed the vibe.
Right.
She not
I looked
only
her up.
Created the vibe, but she...
The character's name is Agnes Qualls.
DJ Qualls? Wow. Talking about a dance party. Like, she really, like... And then it was... The kids, were making fun of it, and they were awkward, and it was... But they had a blast, mm-hmm. and she kept the party going, and she didn't slow down. And then I loved her finishing move, which she keeled over and died as soon as it was over. She expended too much energy. They had a funeral for her the next day, which she somehow DJ'd from beyond the grave. She's awesome.
Dead jockey. Does that mean I get to... I get her when she's done? Does she get to come over to my island after she passes?
I mean... I don't know how it works.
I love the idea of that transaction. She's expired, and then you cart her over to my island. She's of no use to me.
It's like I devoted my life to God. Is this heaven? No, it's Nick's Island, actually. Goodbye. Get the fuck out of here.
Leave your playlist. You're like, what am I going to do with these reel-to-reels that are just piling up on my island? Super flammable.
She was DJing, but if it's on a reel-to-reel, I feel like she just already had to record everything together,
That's her mix. She made a mixtape for them? That's the truth, actually. She made a fucking mixtape off-screen. She's
incredible.
She's like talking to Huey Lewis's agent. Can I borrow this for a
It's incredible, though, like that
dance?
She... knew the hit. The kids were not questioning her choice either. They weren't sitting there like, oh God, they love the she had the hits, man. She
and they were actually playing.
They're
those
like the
hits.
Theme from Fletch. Fucking yes,
they were playing those songs in the room too because they were dancing to those songs.
Yeah,
because sometimes they just play music and people are dancing. They were obviously dancing to those songs.
Yeah,
and nurse is fucking fire. Nurse, that nun killed it though.
Oh, she was a nurse too. She was the school nurse as well. You're totally right.
Yeah. What happens after hours?
What do you mean?
I mean, she's done DJing. What?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, right to bed?
Oh.
She looked pretty. She looked like she might have been in her late 70s. Like I said, she brought the pulse to that party. What about you?
So, one thing I haven't thought about is storage.
Mm-hmm.
I need my own trapper keeper. I need my own storage device. My own therm. You know, like an igloo. You know, something cool.
Yeah.
To store some of my extra belongings. You know, but also something that, in case of an emerge, comes in handy. So I got that Moz. I got that Grayson Moz
mausoleum, the Grace, the crypt.
Got the Grayson Moz.
The mausoleum. Like, yeah,
it's the middle of my island, right on the sandy shores. I use it to get, you know, keep things out of the sun's harmful rays.
Pretty kinky, man. I mean, there's all sorts of crypts in that graveyard, and you brought the one that they did the deed in.
Well, that's just a start, man. That's a great place to action up. By the way.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of foreboding for D.B. Sweeney to see that. He
what do you mean?
Walks past that Moz.
Yeah?
You can meet the Grays, son.
So famished when I close my eyes.